Emerson Quartet, live at Wigmore Hall this lunchtime, playing the third string quartet by Benjamin Britten. Written the year before his death, that last movement making reference to his opera Death in Venice and the ending marked Dying Away. Britten wrote the work for the Amadeus Quartet, who gave him a private performance in September 1976. He suffered a fatal heart attack in early December. The quartet was premiered just over a fortnight later on December the 19th. Peter Peers describing it as of a profound beauty, more touching than anything else, radiant, wise, new, mysterious, overwhelming. The Emerson Quartet back on the platform. They've been making their London debut today in their new lineup. Violinists Eugene Drucker and Philip Setzer, viola player Lawrence Dutton, and cellist Paul Watkins. The violinists swapping places so that this time Philip Setzer took the first violin part. Well, they're back tomorrow night performing three early Beethoven quartets. Next week, Valentina Lisitska will be performing Beethoven's Piano Sonata in D minor, The Tempest, and Liszt's Piano Sonata in B minor. That's here at Wigmore Hall. But for now, it's back to Broadcasting House.
That concert was introduced by Louise Fryer and first broadcast live here on BBC Radio 3 last Monday lunchtime.
On BBC Two, the story behind one of the world's most popular pieces of choral music.
The great and the good of London crowded into a chapel to listen to the music of the most celebrated composer of the day.
It was a turning point for music and for charity.
Demand for space was so high that ladies were even asked to come without their hoops.
Part of the 18th century season.
This was a benefit concert on a massive scale, and at its heart was Handel's mighty Messiah.
Messiah at the Foundling Hospital. Next Saturday night at 9:30 on BBC Two and BBC Two HD.
It's a couple of minutes past 2 o'clock, and now on Radio 3, the early music show, which this week forms part of the BBC's 18th century season, is introduced by Lucy Skeeping.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Early Music Show, a harpsichord recital coming to you from the Queen's Gallery at Buckingham Palace. The gallery is home to changing exhibitions of works of art from the Royal Collection, and we're the guests of its newly opened exhibition, The First Georgians, which celebrates the 300th anniversary of the accession of George I in 1714, and also links up with BBC's 18th century season. I'll be talking about the exhibition and some of the fascinating objects on show here later on with the surveyor of the Queen's pictures, Desmond Shaw Taylor. But first, let's hear from the object that's at the centre of today's programme. Not a painting or a sculpture or a piece of fine china, but a harpsichord, the very splendid one that's standing here beside me right now. It was made in 1740 by the London harpsichord maker Burkhard Schudi, and we'll be finding out a little more about it as we go along. But I guess the most important thing is to hear how it sounds, played, of course, by our soloist today, Carol Chirazi. Well, she's already seated at the keyboard, so let's hear her with A Trumpet Voluntary by the English composer William Croft.
Thank you.
a trumpet voluntary probably composed around 1715 by the then master of the Children of the Chapel Royal and organist of Westminster Abbey, William Croft. And it was performed here in the Queen's Gallery in Buckingham Palace by Carol Chirazi. Well, as I mentioned, she's playing a harpsichord built in 1740 by the Swiss-born Burkhard Schudi. He was one of the leading makers working in England in the 18th century, and with a list of clients to die for: Frederick the Great, the Empress Maria Theresa, Haydn, the Prince of Wales, and his friends Gainsborough, Reynolds, and Handel all bought his harpsichords. This one is part of the royal collection and normally lives in Kew Palace, but it's come here to Buckingham Palace for a few weeks to be part of Royal Collection Trust's exhibition, The First Georgians. The curator of the exhibition is Desmond Shaw Taylor, and he's with me now. Desmond, how did this particular harpsichord come to be in the Royal Collection? I mean, what do we know about it?
Well, it's first recorded in 1825, and conjecturally, the most likely commissioner was Frederick, Prince of Wales. We know that he was extremely musical. He appears in a painting in another part of the gallery by Philippe Mercier, showing him playing the cello, his favourite instrument, accompanied by his sister playing the harpsichord. So that's probably our best guess as the source of the instrument.
So perhaps the royal fingers have actually touched this keyboard?
We like to think.
Of course, there are lots of other objects in the exhibition, and I suppose you can't really talk about music in Georgian London without talking about Handel, who came to settle here in the early 1700s. There are two representations of Handel, aren't there, Desmond, here? A painting and a portrait bust.
Yes, there's a Thomas Hudson painting hanging near the Mercier, but to me the most powerful image is the Roubiliac bust just here behind us of 1739. And you can see, I think, it makes a wonderful contrast with the bust of Frederick, Prince of Wales, we just mentioned opposite. The one very classical and rigid, the other very modern, rococo and soft.
Yes, it's this marvellous sort of shiny white marble, and it looks fantastic against the red, beautiful sort of blood red walls. It's very dramatic, actually. But yes, you're right, it's got a strange informality. I mean, for a start, he's not wearing a wig, is he?
No, he's wearing a cap and a kind of smoking jacket. It's definitely lolling around indoors. It was created for himself, for his own home. And I think at this date, the idea that was that if you were a great composer, you didn't have to work at it. It just naturally flowed out while you lolled in your armchair.
Bit of cool style from Handel there. Although I must say, he is getting a little tiny bit of a double chin there. You know, I know it was said he got quite, shall we say, plump later on, but it's the beginnings of it there, I think, do you?
I'm afraid. And however, double chins, they're quite good if you want to suggest the softness of the marble. You can get that nice sort of springy appearance of the extra chin.
Mm. Well, many thanks for that. And I should just like to say, by the way, that all the objects we're describing today are on the Early Music Show page of the Radio 3 website. So if you can't see them right now, you'll be able to see them on the site. So let's hear Carol Chirazi playing some of Handel's music now. This is the suite number one from his set of eight, known as the Eight Great Suites, published in London in 1720. There's a prelude, followed by three dance movements, an allemande, a courante, and finally a gigue.
Thank you.
wonderfully relentless and rather bouncy jig ending the suite in A major by Handel, the first of his set of eight great suites. And it was performed there by Carol Chirazi on the historic 1714 Schudi harpsichord, belonging to the Royal Collection in this special recital at the Queen's Gallery at Buckingham Palace. Well, Desmond Shaw Taylor, you're the curator of the Royal Collection Trust, the First Georgians Exhibition. He's still with me. Desmond, the next object we're going to look at, it's a painting, isn't it?
Yes, this is The Musical Tea Party by Marcellus Laroon, and it's really a parody of high life, the affectations of high life. It shows a grand lady at her levee. She's pouring tea. She has a velvet-coloured cushion for her lap dog. And it also includes a harpsichord player and violinist, and on the floor it has the name of the composer, Corelli.
It's sort of written on a book, isn't it?
Exactly, rather basically, but it definitely identifies the composer as Arcangelo Corelli. Quite out of date, actually. He died in 1713, this painting is dated 1740, and I think it just indicates the continuation of the prestige of Corelli and perhaps Italian composers as a whole throughout the 18th century in London.
It's a wonderful scene. I mean, do you think it's based on reality? Were families really doing that, sort of sitting, having their favourite musicians to play while they poured their tea and looked after their lap dogs?
I assume, like all satire, every part must have some correlation to reality, but putting it all together like that was probably a little bit excessive.
Well, as you said, Corelli was certainly something of a cult composer in 18th century London, extremely popular, as indeed was the Neapolitan composer Domenico Scarlatti. And it's possible that he did actually come to London in 1719 to oversee the production of one of his operas, but he certainly never came again. I don't know if it was the weather or what. The major part of his working life was spent in Portugal and Spain, where, like Handel, he was also a royal music master, this time to Princess, later Queen, Maria Barbara, for whom he wrote an awful lot of keyboard music. London, though, was where Scarlatti's harpsichord sonatas were first published in 1738, 30 of them in a book entitled Esercizi per il Gravi Cembalo. And we're going to hear Carol Chirazi play three of those sonatas now, number 7, number 9, and number 18, all very typically flamboyant and virtuosic with a lot of hand crossings.
Thank you.
three sonatas by Domenico Scarlatti from his Esercizi of 1738. We heard number 7 in A minor, number 9 in D minor, and number 18 also in D minor. And they were played by Carol Chirazzi here in the Queen's Gallery at Buckingham Palace on the 1740 Burkhardt Schudi harpsichord as part of the Royal Collection. Carol, that was extremely exciting music. I would say exhausting at times. I'm sweating.
Well, you, to be honest, sir, my by now.
I bet you are. I know you've been practicing on this instrument for quite a few days now, sort of getting used to it for the concert. It's certainly very beautiful to look at. It's not actually painted, is it? It's a sort of lovely walnut,
it's beautiful marquetry,
shiny,
isn't it? Yes.
Beautiful marquetry. But what is it actually like to play? I mean, obviously not all harpsichords are the same by any means.
No, and I was actually slightly surprised because these Schudis are often quite heavy. This one is actually very refined and very, very light. It almost seems rude to place so many notes on it. I have to say, it's a very refined instrument.
What about the when it comes to your to actually your fingers on the keyboard? I mean, are the keys themselves different?
Yes.
Do they vary in different
instruments? Well, they vary from instrument to instrument and school of instrument to school of instrument. And these ones are rather wider than your typical, what most of us have, which is a French double. That's what I have. So it's slightly wider, and that means that you do tend to sometimes catch notes. You have to be a bit careful. It's easier when you're not under stress, it has been said.
And you're not under stress, of course.
Of course I'm not.
We did hear very clearly in that those Scarlatti sonatas the way you can get these sort of really different sounds out of the one instrument. You know, you might just suddenly play one phrase and it sounds as if it's another instrument altogether,
yes.
A sort of tinkly
sound.
I
would love to say it's all my touch. Obviously, it's not. It does have different registers. There are little levers on the side which are unbelievably confusing. Luckily, it also has a pedal which deals with it very easily, and that's what you may have heard squeaking. It is having a bit of a squeak at the moment.
Oh, we didn't hear that, I promise you. Well, thanks very much. And there's one more piece in today's programme, and we're going to return to Handel. Well, sort of. William Babel was a violinist and is thought to have played in George I's private band, but he's generally remembered today for his dashing harpsichord arrangements of fashionable operatic overtures and arias, including the one we're going to hear in a moment, an arrangement of an aria from Handel's first London opera, the rip-roaring success that was Rinaldo, first performed in 1711, and incidentally revived in 1714, the very year of George I's accession, whose 300th anniversary this exhibition is celebrating. So a little tribute to Handel from one of his own contemporaries. But before Carol plays it, I just want to ask Desmond Shaw Taylor about one more object in the exhibition that has caught my eye. It's a print by William Hogarth, entitled Masks and Operas, The Bad Taste of the Town, which is rather intriguing. It's a deeply sort of satirical image, isn't it? Full of sort of sarcasm and symbolism. Tell us a little about it.
Exactly, and Hogarth tends to attack everything that we've done in this exhibition, so we've sort of included him on sufferance. In this case, he particularly attacks the bad taste of the town, as the title suggests, with showing William Kent surmounting an academy of art, which all of which Hogarth disapproved of, particularly William Kent, but the exhibition includes wonderful works by William Kent. But I think the thing of particular relevance for music is a parody of Italian opera, which Hogarth hated. It's in the form of a poster showing two castrati and a prima donna, and they are almost being interrupted by three English noblemen kneeling on the ground and saying, pray accept £8,000. And the prima donna, probably Cuzzoni, looks absolutely outraged at this insult. But nonetheless, you can see she's holding a garden rake and she's pulling the money towards her. So she's literally raking it in.
So Hogarth was really the man kind of sticking up for the old English sort of simplicity and feeling that the sort of artifice coming from Italy was just awful? Or
yes, Hogarth, I think Hogarth was speaking up for the membership. I mean, anything English, he wanted to ensure that those £8,000 went to English composers, English singers, but really what he wanted to ensure was that some of the £8,000 came for his paintings.
I love the name, The Bad Taste of the Town. Talking of bad taste, there's a wonderful quote from the 18th century music historian Charles Burney about William Babel, this composer, violinist, whom he said, I quote, acquired great celebrity by wire drawing the favourite songs of the opera of Rinaldo and others of the same period into showy and brilliant lessons, which by mere rapidity of finger in playing single sounds without the assistance of taste, expression, harmony or modulation, enabled the performer to astonish ignorance and acquire the reputation of a great player at a small expense. Mr. Babel, Burney continues, at once gratifies idleness and vanity. Not the kind of review you would want to read about yourself. Well, on the other hand, you could say that Babel's arrangement of the aria Vo fa guerra is extravagantly virtuosic, although I wonder if he was perhaps just simply attempting to reflect something of Handel's own famous improvisation skills at the keyboard. See what you think. Here's Carol Gerazzi.
Thank you.
A storming finish to that arrangement by William Babel of the aria Vo far guerra from Handel's opera Rinaldo. And it ends that recital at the Queen's Gallery in Buckingham Palace by the harpsichordist Carol Cherazzi. She was playing the 1740 Burkhardt Schudi harpsichord, which is part of the Royal Collection and currently on display at the Queen's Gallery as part of their newly opened exhibition, The First Georgians, Art and the Monarchy, 1714 to 1760, celebrating the 300th anniversary of the accession of George I. The recital was introduced by Lucy Skeeping in discussion with the surveyor of the Queen's pictures, Desmond Shaw Taylor. And just to remind you, all the objects they were talking about can be seen by visiting the Early Music Show page of the Radio 3 website.
To mark Palm Sunday, as part of this year's European Broadcasting Union's special day of music, Collegium Vocale Gent joins the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra to perform Bach's Mighty St. Matthew Passion. Live from the Concertgebouw in Amsterdam, Bach's St. Matthew Passion. Today at 4 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
And taking us back to Handel, Handel's finances are the subject of this evening's Sunday feature. The BBC's business correspondent Peter Day looks at Handel's extraordinary success on the stock market and financial matters involved in putting on operas and oratorios in 18th century London. That's at 7 o'clock tonight. And it's followed on by Drama on 3, also part of BBC Radio 3's 18th century season. George Farquhar's restoration comedy, The Recruiting Officer, was so popular in the 18th century it was put on back then more often than any other play, outstripping its nearest rival Hamlet by a very wide margin indeed. The Recruiting Officer starts at 7:45 tonight. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 on FM. We're on digital radio and you can listen to us live online in high-definition sound. It's 3 o'clock and time now for Choral Evensong, which was first broadcast live from Birmingham Cathedral on Wednesday. The canticles are Hugh Blair's unedited setting in B minor, written in 1887, while he was assistant organist at Worcester Cathedral. And the anthem is by the Tudor composer Robert White, the second part of his settings of the Lamentations of the Prophet Jeremiah, mourning the ancient destruction of Jerusalem and its temple. And the service opens now with an introit by a contemporary of Robert White, Thomas Tallis. Miserere nostri, have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us.
Thank you. Welcome to Birmingham Cathedral and to this service of choral evensong during Passiontide. Welcome to this beautiful house of prayer set in the heart of this great and vibrant city of Birmingham. The chief beauty of this building is the magnificent stained glass, the work of Edward Burne-Jones and William Morris, depicting key moments in the life of Christ. At this time of year, each day, the morning light streams through the crucifixion window, reminding us that these are days to turn to Christ and to the love that takes him to the cross and beyond. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise.
The choir will now sing Psalms 48 and 49.
See you.